What a blessing it is for us all to be here this morning. It's great to see everyone here and all of those that were able to attend online as well. Now, the theme for my exhort this morning is the importance of trials. Now, I'd like to spend the majority of our time looking at the importance of trials and how God shows us to approach them. We're going to look at why trials are so imperative to our spiritual health. They're often something that we can think negatively about, but I want to see if we can shine a light on how they're actually something positive. And we'll start by looking at some examples in Scripture of people who struggled and persevered through trials, and also those who looked forward to trials because they knew the lessons they could provide. Then we will bring our focus to a close, to the Lord Jesus Christ and his response to trials and the practical lessons that he provides for us. And then we will finish our time by looking at the importance of trials in our lives and how we can apply those lessons in our walk. But first, I do want us to begin our time by appreciating the value in each of us that are here. Because each one of us comes here and brings something unique and different to the truth. We are all members of the same body, but this body only functions properly if all parts are present and active. Now, I'd like to read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 22, because I think it's a great description of the ecclesia and the body of Christ. Starting in verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. So this verse very much explains the importance of every one of us here and the role that we all have to play. And it highlights the importance of diversity in the ecclesia. Now, if we look around at each other, I'm sure we can all agree that we are very different people. We all have different strengths and weaknesses that allow us to serve God in different ways. But if we stop to really think of how we all became the unique people that we are, what do you think is one of the biggest factors that shapes us? Now, the general answer would be life and all the many aspects of learning that make us into who we are. But to be more specific, I would say that trials and the process of learning involved with them are one of the biggest ways we learn and grow into the people we are today. These are obstacles that force us to learn or change to overcome. Situations that make us really think and test our faith. Trials are a big part of what shapes us. They encourage us to grow and push us outside of our comfort zone. Each of us is unique, and we all face our own specific trials. And that is why we can all be so different and serve in a multitude of ways. Major trials are something that can refine our character. Trials are events or problems that put you in uncomfortable situations. They come in many different shapes and sizes. Some happen quite suddenly, while others slowly become bigger and bigger. What makes them the trial is that they are something you have to respond to in some way. You can choose to try and ignore them. You can face them head on with your own selfish, stubborn mindset that you will somehow overcome them in your own way. Or you can approach them with a positive and faithful mindset, putting your faith in God while learning and growing, then using that knowledge and faith to overcome the trial. Now, I think we have all used each of these strategies when approaching trial before, and I think we can all speak for ourselves of how successful each of those were. The unfortunate part, however, is even though we know which strategy is the best, we don't always apply it when we are distracted by the trial. Most of these trials consume our thoughts as we struggle to overcome them. And sometimes we don't even recognize or fully understand what the trial is, at least not until after. Trials are great teachers and motivators when we approach them correctly. If we approach them negatively, they can sometimes have the opposite effect. They can become debilitating. A negative approach to trial often blinds us from what we need to learn to overcome them. We can become absorbed in our own self-pity or doubt, which can then lead us to questioning our faith or our understanding. Trials can become an immense burden when we don't understand what to do with them. They take over our minds, and we often forget to ask God for help when we are struggling through them. We can instead rely on ourselves and our own minds to help us overcome the trial. And that doesn't usually work out the way that we intend. But occasionally a tough trial like that, where we really struggle and don't understand what to do, will sometimes bring us closer to God. This realization will often happen when we are at our lowest and no longer relying on our own capabilities to overcome the trial. And this is something we all go through at some point, and something I can definitely attest to in my own life. There was a point in time when I believed that I was more than capable of solving my own problems, when I thought that I was truly in control of my own life. That is when I struggled with great difficulty during trials of my own. It was only when I hit rock bottom that I reached out to God to help me understand what I was doing wrong. I was just hoping the trial would go away or resolve itself. It was only when I began to change my approach did I then start to self-reflect and focus on how I could learn and change from the trial. The important lesson was that it was me that had to change instead of me trying to change my surroundings. And I had to learn to rely on God instead of myself. Now, it took a while for me to adjust my state of mind, but I needed those really difficult trials to become the servant of God that I am today. Those trials led to a lot of personal development for me and helped change my outlook on life. Otherwise, I probably would have been too comfortable in my own life to feel the need to serve God. And my story is not too unlike others also. Now let's dive into some examples of trial in Scripture, and we can see how believers of that time understood trials and how they approached them. Now there are plenty of examples of people in the Bible that faced trials, so for today we'll only briefly cover a few. Now the first one that I have here is Job. He is a God-fearing man who endured through an extremely challenging trial. In Job chapter 1, we see that Job is a wealthy man, blessed bountifully by God. In that same chapter, during the span of one conversation, we see Job lose almost everything. He loses all his herds of animals, he loses his wealth, and he loses all of his children. Now this would have been absolutely devastating for Job. And to make matters worse, in the following chapter, we see that he was then afflicted by physical ailments. His body was covered with painful boils from head to toe. Now, during this time, Job did not sin, nor did he curse God for his situation. There were times where he struggled to understand why this was happening to him, and he questioned God about the reasoning for his afflictions. But through it all, Job still managed to keep his faith in God and in his plan. But it was definitely a process. Job took some time to understand and learn what it was God was trying to teach him. There were times where Job felt like he was at his lowest he could ever be. He was overwhelmed with emotion at the position he was in and couldn't think of how he would ever get out of it. We know that Job was a righteous man and he did what was right in the sight of God. But the incredible trial that he faced was to help him grow even more. It challenged his faith and character and put it to the test. Now, the second example we have is Paul, who was converted and became a strong, dedicated follower of Jesus. His faith grew stronger through trial and adversity. Saul, who became Paul, began as a man that was well educated in the law of Moses and was passionate about persecuting the followers of Jesus, and he was zealous in his pursuit of them. Acts chapter 9, he was temporarily blinded for 3 days and spoken to by Christ on the road to Damascus. He then understood the error of his ways and devoted his life to sharing the gospel and following Jesus. And shortly after, he was put through a large multitude of difficult trials in a short period of time. After his conversion, we see that Paul diligently pursued the truth while sharing it everywhere he went. Unfortunately, many people did not agree with Paul, and this led to a lot of occasions where people would uproar and riot over the gospel message that Paul was sharing. Now, even though Paul was put through so much on the account of the truth, he still felt compelled to share the gospel with everyone. Now, Paul would have faced angry people everywhere he went. This man was beaten, stoned, and imprisoned for the truth. This would have been very hard to stay positive and faithful, but Paul managed to use those trials to help him grow stronger. These things only strengthened his resolve and showed him the importance of the gospel message that he was sharing. He learned to rely on God and have faith in his plan so that he could focus on how to continue preaching and overcoming the trials he was being faced with. Now, the example that we will finish with is the man who perfected that ability to trust in God. And he used his immense knowledge of Scripture to overcome the trials that he faced. And that man would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was no stranger to trials. Even before his birth, Jesus already had people trying to kill him. King Herod had tried to eradicate him and was willing to kill all male children in the area in order to do that. As he became an adult and began his ministry, many people were not in favor of his teachings, and some sought to kill him for his words. Most people would not take him seriously and would ridicule him for his statements. But Jesus was gifted in his ability to inspire others. He was able to connect with so many through his love and compassion for all the people. He was talented at diffusing tense situations by using the Word of God. His knowledge of Scripture prepared him for any problem that might occur. But as he began to gain traction and have a following, the chief priests and elders plotted to kill him before he was able to convert too many people. Even knowing that so many people wanted to cause him harm, Jesus still found peace because he had faith that all was according to God's plan. He trusted that God would keep him safe as he delivered the gospel message. And what's awe-inspiring is that Jesus knew that it was his faith, but he spent all of his time spreading the gospel message and healing others who were in need. Jesus was not selfish with his time, nor did he have any self-pity about his role in life. The ability was always there for Jesus to divert his path from the one God had set out for him. And he could have used his Holy Spirit gifts for his own fleshly desires. But instead he refrained. He remained disciplined and focused on the will of his Father. And he continued this way even until he had to face one of his most difficult trials. Now this 3-day trial began in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that Judas, one of his disciples, was about to betray him. This would then begin the events that would lead up to his death. Now Jesus would have approached this with a heavy heart, knowing the things he would have to endure all alone, but his faith never wavered. He understood the role he played in the salvation of mankind, and his life led up to these moments. We see, after Jesus surrenders himself to the people of the high priest and elders, that he was taken to stand trial before Caiaphas, the high priest, in Matthew chapter 26. They tried to find false witnesses to testify against him, and none could be found. The high priest still accused him of blasphemy, and they then decided he was guilty and deserving of death. After their decision, they also began to spit on him and smote him with their hands while they mocked him. The following morning, Jesus was then delivered to stand on trial before Pontius Pilate, the governor. Pilate would then decide whether or not Jesus would be crucified. As the trial began, the chief priests and elders accused Jesus of many things to which he did not reply. They continued to scream for him to be crucified and pressured Pilate into releasing Barabbas instead of Jesus. He was then scourged before being sent to bear his cross. But as we know, it did not end there. Jesus was then mocked viciously by the soldiers told to crucify him. All the while, Jesus remained silent and composed. Then he was led to the cross to fulfill his duty as our sacrificial lamb, all while staying faithful and committed to God and his plan. Now Jesus is an incredible example of the attitude that we should have when facing trial. He is committed to the truth and never allows any fear to overcome his faith in God. Jesus had to overcome many things in his life, and due to his great knowledge of Scripture, he was able to navigate these challenges and trials without difficulty. If it weren't for Jesus and his ability to adapt and overcome the trials he faced, we would not be meeting here today. It is only through his life free of sin that we have this opportunity to share the memorial feast, where we see his sacrifice and his victory over the flesh. We see his perfect character shown to us through his words and his actions, an example left on record for us to follow after, giving us the lessons and the information we need to grow in the faith. Now, how do we honor that sacrifice and that dedication? Now, we should take the time to evaluate how we have been doing in the trials in our lives. Do we use Scripture to guide our thoughts and our actions? I often think about James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 3 in the context of trial. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Now, what we can do to help prepare ourselves for those situations is to condition our minds through the Word of God. We need to put the work into consciously changing our minds to think through a spiritual lens that God had provided for us. Try our best to shift our focus to a positive focus instead of a negative one. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." We can use Scripture to provide us excellent lessons into how we should live our lives this way. It gives us instruction into how to discipline our mind and focus on the Word of God instead of our own fleshly nature. In doing that, it allows us to understand the value of trial. Trials are not just there to inconvenience us, nor is it something that we can ignore, but instead to be used as lessons, giving us a detailed insight into what we struggle with as individuals. We have to learn to be honest with ourselves so that we can recognize what our weaknesses are. Once we can do that, we can start to use that information to help us learn and grow stronger. It can be quite difficult to recognize our shortcomings and admit that we need to work on ourselves, but it's important for us to keep growing as believers. We also have to be able to humble ourselves through self-examination, and this is what will help us grow through trials and become better disciples. God allows these trials in our lives because they are so important for our development. Without them, we would be too comfortable and thus not have the pressure to learn and grow more. God wants us to continue learning and growing. He knows that if we become too comfortable with ourselves, then our faith can grow weak. Multiple trials, or repeating the same ones, is to our benefit, for each of them is another opportunity to understand more about ourselves and continue to work on our character. God wants to see us succeed, and He doesn't give us trials that we can't overcome. So it's on us to make sure we're putting in the effort to continue learning. We have our perfect example to follow in our Lord and Savior, and we also have this wealth of knowledge at our fingertips to help us navigate through life's struggles. And lastly, we have each other. We are blessed to have this ecclesia that we can rely on for support when we are struggling. Now, I'd like to finish our time together with this verse from our reading today in James chapter 1. And this is verse 12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.